Joining us on the phone right now is Christine Reese, NFL writer and lead New York Jets correspondent for Arisports. Christine, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
It's definitely our pleasure. Christine, let's kind of get right into it. The Jets are 8-5. You know, they're riding a 3-game winning streak, and they control their own destiny when it comes to the playoffs. But with New York, it kind of seems that it's when Mark Sanchez is on his game, or, you know, has at least a mistake-free game, then the Jets win. If he doesn't, you know, they have a little bit of difficulty. What's the consensus up there on Mark Sanchez? Is he good enough to lead the Jets to a Super Bowl, do fans think?
Well, interestingly enough, I don't think there really is a consensus. I have an opinion that I've found is not necessarily one that many of people share. I think he is not there yet. I think he will get there. I don't know that he's ever going to be, you know, one of these like top five guys. I certainly don't think that, but I think given his age and the experience that he had before he even got to the NFL level, which comparatively is not a lot.
Right.
You know, I think he will get there with the right support system and the right system. I find that a lot of the problems he's had are not necessarily that they're not his fault, but I think that some of the things that they're doing are not helping him. You know, the system, mm-hmm. the sort of play calling that they're doing. I don't think there's a lot of support necessarily, even though they'll say that there is in the public. I've actually written about it a lot, almost to the point where I'm like, I don't even know if I feel like doing it anymore. Because I've gotten so many people disagreeing with me, but I think when Rex came to New York, you know, his whole thing was like, I want to build this team, from the ground up, and that's when they brought Sanchez in, and I think that given that, there's going to be some growing pains, and that he's already been to the AFC Championship game twice, I think that means they're probably doing something right.
Right. Yeah, Christine, I guess in the in the recent Jet 3-game winning streak, Sanchez has 7 touchdowns and 1 interception. From your standpoint, are you seeing anything different from him? Is he just more comfortable, versus like earlier this season where he was just throwing interceptions freely?
Well, his interceptions for the whole year are down. There's a couple games where it was a little rough. I think a lot of that. I mean, and again, not to completely just brush that he had any responsibility, but the pass protection was really bad, and the pressure on him was really bad. And usually he does well under, you know, in pressured situations, but when he's under pressure, he just tends to just make really stupid decisions. And I think that's what he was doing. And I think now they have a better plan. The protection seems to be better. And I think I've noticed at least that he's getting the ball a lot quicker. And I think that makes a big difference. I think they're just also a little of a better rhythm. And then they've had an offensive consultant. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the situation, but they had this guy that they brought in who used to work with the Colts and as a consultant. And I think he's doing some things and helping with his confidence. And I see that on the field making a big difference. I mean, this past week was very different because they did a lot of really short passes, lots of screens, those kinds of things. And, it's pretty much turnover free when you're doing stuff like that. So.
Yeah, and also probably helping Sanchez's cause is Sean Green has been tremendous the last few games.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, and now they're back to, I guess, that ground and pound offensive philosophy. Like, do you see the Jets just running, I don't know, like back to that philosophy of basically running Sean Green and minimizing, like the big, like, I guess, the possibility for mistakes from Mark Sanchez?
Yeah, I mean, my feelings about the whole ground and pound thing are kind of weird because I'm like, you have all these great receivers. I mean, not that you don't want to make mistakes, but what I kind of see them doing is trying to just control the ball, put together these long drives, and then get in the red zone, and that's when they'll use the receivers more. And as long as Green is running the way he's running, I think that works. I mean, setting up the screen game, obviously. I mean, he never really was working out of the backfield as much as he was last week, which was great to see because he wasn't really doing that before, and I think that added another wrinkle. I mean, whenever they run for over 100 yards, the whole offense just seems to be better because they're not one-dimensional. I think that's super important. So to your point, yes, avoiding the need to have Sanchez throw it on every single down is important. But I think last week, it was actually a 50-50 split in terms of passing and running yardage-wise. I haven't looked exactly at the play breakdown, but I think given the matchup for this week, they probably will try to run it again, like they have. You know, I don't know what to expect sometimes because it's like 1 week they'll have, you know, targets to Plaxico and targets to Dustin Keller, and then the next week they have nothing. And so, which is, I mean, and you know, you guys have a lot of offensive weapons yourselves, and sometimes that's a good thing, but sometimes it's hard to predict.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess the defense that's stopping, that's going to attempt to try to stop the Eagles is missing a key component this week. Jim Leonard's out for the rest of the season. Christy,
yeah.
How do you see that affecting the Jets going forward? Not for just this game.
Well, Leonard's obviously a good player, but more importantly than that, he's the quarterback for the secondary and the defense. And the thing that's about Leonard has always been, I mean, he is a good player, but his intelligence, what he offers, you know, cerebrally is beyond, you know, measure. And, I mean, even last year he was injured, season ended early last year when he broke his leg in practice, and, you know, they went on without him, obviously, but he still offered a lot of contributions from you know, the side of the field. And I think that's still going to continue to happen. He's going to continue to contribute his opinions, but not having him on the actual field is huge because he's helping with assignments and stuff like that. And to be honest, for this week, that concerns me because of the type of offense that the Eagles have. And, you know, I think they might try to do some things that are different than what they really are really good at. And
right.
It makes me nervous not to have Leonard on the field. That said, I mean, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens because they have Bronny Poole and he's very, you know, he's physically skilled, and I think he'll do a good job, but safety's sort of been a concern for the Jets anyway. And so now they're kind of going to be playing the third safety they have is this kind of younger guy that they brought up, and it'll be interesting to see how it works out. Now, if they're able to make that work, you know, does that mean that Leonard doesn't come back to the team next year? I mean, it's a position that I think they need to address, and I think they need to bring in some other people, and I hope they can figure it out before too late.
right.
They were starting to gel, you know, even given the fact that they were a little bit struggling in that area, and then to have this happen, it's just, and on a personal level, I mean, I just like Jim Leonard a lot, and I'd really be sad not to have him playing and also not to see him come back next year. So I'm concerned about this week. I'm not going to lie.
You are concerned?
Yes, I am. I am.
I kind of think we're not that concerned because we kind of expect you guys to beat us.
Yeah.
pretty handily.
I think we expect you guys, at least from the people I've talked to, tempering expectations.
Our expectations have been tempered probably since week four around here, so it's probably new to you guys, but it's definitely kind of status quo here. We're live with NFL writer and lead New York Jets correspondent Christine Reese from Arisports. Christine, we kind of danced around it, but let's kind of get into the nitty gritty. Exactly,
sure.
What do you think the Jets need to do in order to beat the Eagles this week?
Well, like I said, the offense is capable of putting up a lot of points. And obviously, so 1A and 1B is you have to score enough points to keep up. And, well, 1A is to try to prevent them from scoring that many points in the first place. And then 1B is scoring as many points as them and more. And, you know, I'm encouraged by the way that the offense has been playing in the last couple of weeks because I think that they are capable of doing that. But I think if they can keep the score in control, the Jets, manageable, that, you know, they can stay in the game. But, you know, I fear that if it gets to a place where it's, you know, out of control, what will happen. And, you know, I was talking about this with somebody today in terms of how kind of a defense they're going to run with all these receivers and all these, I mean, LeSean McCoy is so fast, obviously, and special, and, you know, how are they going to handle that? And with the Macklin Deshaun Jackson thing, you know, I don't know exactly what Macklin's health status is. I'm not sure.
Yeah, neither do we.
Yeah, okay, because, I mean, I try to look into it a little bit, but I know it's sort of like which will be interesting because, you know, logically I would say, well, Revis will probably be on Macklin, and then Cromartie would probably be on Jackson, just speed-wise. But then, you know, you've got Celek and you've got all these other people, and so it'll be – I'll be curious to see what kind of a defensive plan they have. They don't typically run zone very much, but, you know, that's something maybe that they would consider in this game. And then I think offensively they'll, you know, like we were saying before, they'll probably run the ball – you know, just try to control the ball, keep it from Michael Vick, you know, get pressure on him, keep him in the pocket when they are on offense. But, you know, the threat of him to run is obviously a concern. And if he's if he starts going that way, like, I don't know. We don't have a lot of speed in that front.
You're making it sound a lot better than we actually are. So it's kind of makes you feel good.
I think I'll try to be fair to both teams. And I feel that the Eagles, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way, like, they're capable of playing in a way that is, I mean, we've seen them do it this year, you know, that's dominating. And then I was at the New England game in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And then you see a game like that, and it's just like, what happened?
Exactly.
I mean, I hope that's not. I don't mean to be like offensive to you guys. I hope that's not rude.
Oh,
or
please,
anything.
Please, no. We've been offended all year by
that.
Okay. And so it's sort of like, well, part of me, you know, in this whole thing is like, well, I don't know what to say because I don't know what team's going to show up, and you have to expect that both teams are going to give their best, and I expect that they will, but, you know. I think it would be stupid to say, well, we're going to beat them because they're whatever. You guys are 4-5
5-8. So you don't have a prediction. You don't have a prediction on the score. Like if we had to pin you down on the score, who wins the game? What's the score? What's the score this Sunday?
I have so much trouble doing this.
Just throw out numbers. It doesn't matter. No one's going to hold you to this.
I feel like it's going to be like in the upper 20s. So, and it probably be like a field goal separating the two. So, you know. 27-24. Yeah. I mean, of course, I'm going to sit here and say, well, I think the Jets are going to win because A, I think they can, and B, they have to. So, you know, there's that. But, like, I mean, I just feel like it's going to be close. Do you guys have a prediction? What are you guys thinking?
I'm thinking 31-10 Jets. I just think. Well, like, the one thing the Eagles have shown the entire year is that they're inconsistent, pretty much. So,
well, that's fair.
Yeah, last week they won a game, but I think at this point, like, I don't know, like me personally, like, I've actually gotten optimistic after every game. I'm not optimistic after every win anymore. Like, I'm expecting them to go on a two-game losing streak and then win the last game, which is going to be completely meaningless, and then they'll be 6-10 and screw up their chances for a high draft pick.
I wouldn't mind if it was 31-10. I can tell you that for sure. I'm feeling much more comfortable about the offense given how they've played the last 2 weeks. And so I'm not, you know, where it was like 3 weeks ago, I was like, really, you know, I don't really know what to say because it's going to be on the defense. But I'm feeling much better about what they're doing. And so, and I think they are too, in that we can't underestimate the power of that. I mean, look at what Tim Tebow is doing and the Tebows or whatever.
Let's talk about Tebow real quick. Just a couple things. Yeah, because I know you cover the NFL for you know the Air Sports as well.
Yeah.
What impressions on Tebow mania? Like, what do you know? Are you a believer? Are you a believer in Tebow mania?
I am actually. I was kind of from the beginning. Do I think that he's the best, most gifted quarterback No, but I don't actually think he's as bad as people say he is. But that's also in my, you know, I didn't play in the league kind of from where I sit opinion.
Right.
But like I just said, I think without, you know, digressing too much about what I do as a profession, you know, as my profession, I'm an actor, and, you know, you can't underestimate the power of what the mental, you know,
mm-hmm.
your brain said, you're going to do this. And I think that, you know, whether or not he's good or he's not good, like what he's done is he's instilled a mentality in everybody that's around him. And I think that they're all playing to their best of their abilities. And
right.
including him. And you know, and I, somebody said this the other day, and I can't remember who it was, but they said, you know, even if he's not that good, what he has is a belief in him that he's going to make the throw or he's going to do the this or that. And you know, and now look what just happened. And I don't think he's as bad as everyone makes him out to be, and I think that given some more instruction, like, he'll be better. But I don't think he'll ever be amazing.
Right. No, I agree. I don't think we disagree with that. I think we kind of see
yeah.
that. You know, he kind of is what he is, but like you said, he kind of raises his team, you know, to his level. And there's
yeah.
something to say for that, you know, even if you don't have the physical capabilities.
Right.
There's something to say
yeah.
for the person who kind of raises everybody to, your, you know, to play, you know, turn up a notch, you know, as
right.
they like to say in the NFL. So.
And I have to say, too, like, I'm not a deeply, deeply religious person, but I do have faith in my life. And it doesn't have anything to do with my opinion of him, but I have to
mm-hmm.
say it does kind of upset me a little bit that it's constantly brought up. Either negatively
right.
or positively, because I think there's enough of a debate going on in this country about that thing and about that issue in the first place.
Right.
And so I hate to see people like be one way or the other about it because of that. Like, I know he brings it up and he talks about it, and some people find it annoying, but that part of it just really frustrates me because I'm like, well, these people believe what they believe. He, you know, that's his belief, and I don't think we should be judging him on that.
Right. No.
You know.
No. We definitely agree with that. Real quick, before we let you go, you know,
sure.
we you know talked about your role with Aera Sports. If you could, just please take a minute to tell our listeners about your blog, The Green Room, at aerasports.com, and some of the sports writing that you do.
Yeah. Sure. Not sure how familiar you are with the network, but we have a network of all female sports writers. Sort of a every, you know, ideally you want to have every team covered and every team has their own writer, and some people have contributors as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gentlemen contributors are welcome, so there are some guys who are writing for us as well.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, we all have our own site, and so I'm pretty much writing something every day, obviously doing recaps and previews and all that, you know, sharing the news, but also mostly offering opinion, my take from a female perspective. And I think that, you know, sassy, funny, witty, like that's our point of view. And, you know, ideally something that you're not going to be able to find when you go to ESPN,
right.
Yahoo, CBS, you know, which is, this is what happened and this is how it ended. We're offering commentary that you hopefully can't get anywhere else. And, so I cover the Jets, and then I also cover, I contribute to the, fantasy content.
Okay.
And then I also cover, like, the pop culture, some of the pop culture stuff, which is really fun for me. And then I also write for a few other blogs, Sports of New York. I do one column a week for them,
mm-hmm.
usually more opinion-based. And I have my own blog, which I haven't really had time to write. I'm a huge Phillies fan, so in the summer, you know, I'm constantly writing and talking about them. I actually was born in Philadelphia, coincidentally.
Yes, excellent.
Yeah, so that's pretty much
so
it. It's a great network that you guys, everyone should check out.
Definitely check it out. You know, we're friends. I think we've talked on Twitter. You know, we're friends with Brandon Campbell, the Philly Sports
yes.
Muse. And, yeah, everybody out there who hasn't checked out Aera Sports, check them out right now. AeraSports.com, and check out Christine Reese. She is the mind behind the Green Room, NFL writer and lead New York Jets correspondent for Aera Sports. Check out Christine Reese. Christine, thank you for joining the show tonight. Really,
thanks.
Really
thank you
Christine,
so much
having
for
you
having
on.
Me. And we will probably be chatting on Sunday, I'm sure.
Definitely.